Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Welcome to our show in episode 489, as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today her travel. She's going to travel like a woman. Ooh, I can't wait for this special show, and I know it's really going to touch you deeply. Ooh, before we begin, please know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins. That's S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins. These are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, and they've got a special gift just for women. The new award-winning Her Life Stages products. And these provide support for the entire hormonal journey from the menstrual years through PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. It's an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, run on over to your local health food store. You could go to Amazon. You could go to Sprouts. You could go to Whole Foods. You could even come on down to Solaray.com. And when you do, use promo code HER20 for 20% off. You'll be glad you did. All right, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show, because the entire Her Podcast team just loves hearing from you. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about Her.
Raise your hand if you like to travel. Ha! I knew it. I just knew it. You guys love to travel. And when you travel, do you do it alone? Or do you have to have a man with you? Or what do you do? I mean, like, do you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things like, oh, I like to travel, but how do you do that? And I'll bet, I'm just sort of throwing it out there, but I'll bet when you travel that you aim to have some really unique eating. Yeah, bring it on. Okay. And at the same time, you end up kind of scoping art. I know I'm in an art gallery all the time, you know, just kind of wild and crazy, fun, awesome art, you know, that kind of reflects where you are, and it'll probably be a marvelous memory there. Well, our guest, Kelly Grayler, put it all together. She's got a docu-series called WTAF. Before you think that that is like a bad word, let me tell you, it stands for Women, Travel, Art, and Food. Oh my goodness, she produces and hosts this Woman First Food and Travel docu-series. You know, it's interesting. Most of us know about, you know, male-driven food and travel shows like, well, you know, the Bourdain and Phil and Zimmum and all that. But what about a woman's point of view? And this is where Kelly shows up. Kelly, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Oh, Dr. Peek, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here. And I just love your enthusiasm for travel and for the name of the show.
Well, you know, I'm one of those people. I'm sure that the grand majority of our listening audience feels the same way, which is we love to get out there, travel, do some really cool stuff. Doesn't matter where you travel, you know, it could be all around the world. It could be, you know, on the other side of this country, whatever, but we want to do it. And it's really interesting. Until I met you, I never put it all together. I want to have some really interesting eating, you know, something that's just sort of local and wow, this is different. And then at the same time, I always end up sauntering into places where there's awesome art. It could be sculpture, it could be pottery, it could be painting, you know, whatever. And I never put it all together, but you did. So tell us a little bit about you and how you came up with this whole concept.
A little bit about me. It I have a hard time sometimes truncating that into a short story, but we're going to try to go for the sound bites. I'm a 53-year-old Gen X woman who has spent over 30 years in corporate America. And one of the things that I'm proud of is my career. And one of the things that I always think about are the things that when I was younger that I wanted to do that I didn't do. And so got to this point where I'm like, you know what? I want to see if there are ways for me to take my skills in corporate communications, reputation management. That's been the work that I do. And how do I transfer that over to do something that I care about and is meaningful? And for me, I'm a fan around equal rights for women, first and foremost. And, you know, I think about how do we give more advantage and opportunity, not give, you know, the outcome, but the opportunity for more women to stand out, for more women to have a more level playing field. And my job is essentially storytelling. I looked at it and said, how can I take my storytelling skills and transfer those in a way that helps a woman out, helps an artist, helps a chef. I went toward the things that I really do care about, which are art and food. The idea, though, in terms of how to do that, I've had a startup called Alice Ride. I've had it now for about 9 years. And it's been my own private sandbox, really, where, you know, take that idea. How do I help women artists grow? How do I help women chefs grow? And I've thrown a lot of different proverbial spaghetti noodles at the wall, if you will. But I also am a big consumer of other storytelling, and I have always loved food and travel shows. It was really landing on Mother's Day 2020 when I couldn't travel thanks to the pandemic and decided to spend Mother's Day watching food and travel shows, especially Bourdain, whom I love, and suddenly getting upset and realizing that all of the stories we've been told about food and travel have been told through the lens of men. And the men host the travel shows. The guests that they largely bring on, especially the Michelin star chefs and the James Beard chefs and the tier one contemporary artists, they're usually men who get featured on these shows. So if the reason that really got under my skin was, well, who's telling the stories of women? And you got to start first with the question of, are women important in the equation for this? And when you look at the data out there, women are the super consumers when it comes to travel. Every product, service, accessory, experience, you're talking 2 to 3 times more buying power and spending power that women have in travel than men do. Whether it's booking hotel rooms or it's booking airline tickets, the average global traveler is a 47-year-old woman.
That's amazing. So that's a real statistic. The average global traveler is a 47-year-old woman, I'll be damned.
That's right. And it's the Condor Ferry survey that is the background for that. And then you start to think about, okay, well, where are women, Gen X women and late millennial women, where are we at? There's a lot happening in terms of where we're at. And right now, we're also the global wellness consumer. One of the things I'm experiencing as a Gen X woman is menopause and going through this stage in life and seeing how little has been out there to really help us navigate through it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. It looks good on the other side. So I can
get me there.
So I'm giving all of you hope. It's hope.
But, you know, you think, take a look at that. And we're dealing with, you know, 1 in 5 people travel for wellness. That's the reason they travel. So when you really start to think through, how do I inspire someone to embrace travel as a concept of wellness, something that's good for you, something that puts you in a space where, you know, again, you're looking for great experiences, things you enjoy, whether it's food or it's art, or maybe it's wellness itself. And that's the interesting piece. So the Global Wellness Institute has this great data about wellness travel. Wellness tourism is twofold. On the one hand, you're literally traveling for wellness. I'm going to go to a yoga retreat. I'm going to go something along those lines. But the other half is really just travelers saying, I travel for my mental well-being. I just need to take a trip so it's something good for me. All of this just converged and started to really look and go, okay, well, if women are the super consumer, especially Gen X and millennial women are the super consumer when it comes to, again, virtually every category of travel spending. And we want to inspire more women to travel and to embrace this as a part of wellness. What are the problems we're trying to solve and how can storytelling help solve that problem? And really those problems are threefold. Number one, we have to pay attention to how we consume information to make decisions in our lives and that the importance and the influence of entertainment and social media, as much as we may not like all of those realities, it's our reality. And those problems are really simple. Number one, men host the food and travel shows, even though it is a top five genre for women. Food and travel programming is a top five genre, but these shows are hosted by men, usually men with some prominence, either they're former chefs or, in the case of like Stanley Tucci, Oscar-nominated actor. But the guys are hosting the shows. So everything that's being told to us in terms of travel is coming from a male perspective. Again, number two, they usually are seeking out male chefs, male artists. And that's when you start to look at the data from Michelin, from James Beard, from global institutions around art, art exhibitions, Michelin stars, James Beard awards, the majority of them are men, male chefs, male artists. Very few women are holding the stars and these honors. So they're not likely to get into the shows that these guys are hosting. Number three, the easy thing is to say, well, I don't need the food and travel shows. I've got TikTok. I've got Instagram. I've got the social influencers, and the travel influencers are going to really help me with this. And guess what? The average age is 27 years old, and they are lousy travel agents. They're the worst, because what they are not doing is helping you see what is special about the places where they're visiting and why would I want to go there and have those experiences. They're showing themselves. And so there's data that also shows that 60-some percent of people who have trusted a travel influencer for travel advice are greatly disappointed with that travel experience. All you're seeing is someone with a selfie stick. You're not getting the local stories. You're not getting the reality of what's happening on the ground locally and why you would want to go there and be a part of it. And so that's what we're taking a look at here is it's the convergence of digital. It's with entertainment, with content, and thinking about it from a woman's lens, and how do you really do it in a way that's underscoring the advantages to your own wellness by being a part of the greater world and experiencing it for yourself.
That is so cool that you've been such a kind of activist on this whole thing, which I think is so necessary. What's happening, I've also noticed, and how does this fold into what you're doing? A lot of women now are traveling in packs. They either kind of make things up as they go along, like, let's all meet in Milan and kind of take it from there. Or one of the things I noticed, I think just the other day in the Wall Street Journal, there was an article about wellness and health travel. And that is everything from the typical spas. This is more like a spa thing. Some of them becoming much more highly medicalized, and boy, are they expensive. We're talking $20,000 to $30,000 per person for a week stay versus just going to a spa by yourself, which is more about centered around health and relaxation and just calming down, having some stillness and that kind of thing. That'll take you to about $3,000 to $4,000 a week, that kind of thing. There's that new category, and I think it's very, very popular. I was the first physician elected to the International Spa Association's board, so I'm really well aware of the evolution of this whole thing over time. But what you're talking about is women just going on out there, and whether it's themselves all by themselves, or it's with a friend or several friends or however they want to do it, and just meeting up wherever, because they discovered with a little due diligence that the particular city, New Orleans, for instance, or where you just came from, I believe the Napa Valley, are really cool places to explore. And I think a lot of people don't know how to kind of, as it were, get out of the hotel and actually explore in an adventuresome way. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah. And, you know, and I would not categorize necessarily what we're doing from a storytelling standpoint to be anchored on just wellness travel, or in the case like adventure travel, you know, for instance, and which, by the way, 75% of all adventure travel trips, think like mountain biking or what have you, are booked by women. So, you know, it's, again, I think we have this tendency to want to like default to men love to do that. It's actually women. So,
well, actually, you know what I remember? I remember when REI, the recreational outdoor store that's sort of my second home, but I'm just being transparent here. So REI for a long time did that thing. They had kind of like a guy thing going. I think so many corporations did the guy thing. And it was, women are like waving, going, hello, we exist, just saying. And then all of a sudden, where was I? Oh gosh, was I in Atlanta? There was this huge, gigantic REI sign on a convention center. I was speaking at some convention, and oh my God, it was a woman who appeared to be maybe like late 50s, and she was dressed in REI stuff, and she was like pounding the trail wherever she was, and beautiful smile on her face. And you're like, oh, it's a woman. They exist. Who knew? You know?
Yeah. You know, let me quick speak to the brand side of things, and then I'll get to your question about content. Brands are finally waking up to the reality of who is, in fact, their consumer. Let me fly you back 15 years ago. I'm at Best Buy. I was in a particular meeting where, and it was actually a gentleman in the room who slammed down this document because there it was yet another study that showed that 90% of all consumer purchases in our stores for consumer electronics were influenced by women, and something like to the tune of 70% of the actual purchases were made by women. And he said, I don't know how many times we have to show this data in this room before we start actually marketing ourselves to her, because we always default to, our brand is about getting to the gearheads, you know, the guys who want the big screen TV for the football game. This is happening in travel. It is happening in every single consumer category. And I sit there and go, well, is it because we have more women who are now in leadership roles inside these companies pressing the question? Is it because, what is it that's happening? You and I think it really is we're finally paying attention to whose wallets are opening. And we're also at that point, and you and I have discussed this in the past, you know, McKinsey has the study out there that says by 2030, 2/3 of all generational wealth in this country, in the US, will be held by women for the first time ever. People follow the money, and the money is with the women. And when I look at the travel space, yes, there may be women who can afford a $30,000 a week spa stay. I mean, that just sounds ultra, right? There are also women who, I think of women I know in the solo and style community on Facebook. There are over 650,000 women over the age of 50 who are in this one Facebook group, and all they talk about is solo travel around the world. A lot of them aren't doing it because they've got a lot of disposable income. Many of them are there because they are suddenly divorced, because they were traded in for a younger model, so to speak, or they feel like they're invisible and they're like, I'm tired of feeling invisible. I want to do these things. They're seeing solo travel as a means of empowerment for their own lives, no matter what their circumstances are. But trust me, there are a lot of conversations about how do I get the best deal? They're not traveling because it's a luxury. They're traveling because it's some sort of a necessity for them. What we're trying to do with the WTAF show is show them, give them the stories that encourage them to get out of the hotel. Like if you're going to travel halfway around the world, what is the story of that place? What are the stories of art and food in that community that would be inspiring for you to want to go out and experience it for yourself? And not in some dry history channel sort of way, but how do we really get excited about awesome things that women are doing locally in that community? So if you're a woman traveling to London, yes, you can go to Condé Nast Traveler or Travel and Leisure or any number of influencer accounts and get your TripAdvisor top 10 things to do when you're in London that everybody else is going to do. Every tourist is going to be there. Or are there some things that are a little bit deeper than that initial list? Go, man, have you looked at the Rose and Crown? This pub in Clapham is 150 years old and it's now operated by a woman and a woman chef. And that Sunday roast is one of the best damn Sunday roasts I've ever had in my life. It's intentionally pointing out stories that say, here are the great things women are doing in these places around food and art so that you're inspired when you go there to have that experience yourself. Quickly, I also want to comment on the whole like traveling in a pack phenomenon. So I'm on my flight last week out to Napa. We were out there filming our next episode. Went to the Napa Valley, spent a little time on our way up there at a great place called Reams, California in San Francisco in the Mission District. And then we literally just stayed on Highway 29.
I'm from San Francisco, so You're talking about my hood.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it was just, it was great. We, you know, we went up 29. We just back and forth between Calistoga and Napa. And then we ended the trip going down, coming across the Golden Gate from the north end. Just a fabulous experience. My flight out there, there was a, it had to have been a dozen women who were all together on a girls' weekend trip heading out to Napa. Some of them were in first class. Some of them were in the back. It was a little bit like the movie Bridesmaids. Thankfully, nobody was like super drunk and drugged up and there was no chaos. But they were visibly excited about going. They were actually doing things that you don't typically see on a flight. They were all standing in the aisle talking with each other. Women are changing some of the traditional norms we have around travel, even as simple as we're all taking a flight together. But Napa to me is, and then the way we're going to be framing this episode, if you go by yourself, you're going to have a fabulous time. If you go with your friends, you're going to have a fabulous time. If you go for a bachelorette weekend, you stand out. The feather boas give you away. And we saw a couple of those while we were there. But the women who are actually making the wines and building the businesses and running these experiences, it's like, oh my gosh, yes, Robert Mondavi has built something great, but go past Mondavi, go up to Fantasca and see what Susan Hoff has built with that business. And then her 30-year-old daughter with her own wine line as well. Go to Rare Cat Wines. Go to McBride Sisters. Seek these places out. Everyone's talking about French Laundry and Chef Thomas Keller and his Michelin stars. No Michelin stars for women chefs out there, by the way. I checked. Not happy about it. But go see Chef Cindy Paulson, who launched Mustard's Grill back in 1983, and it is an institution when you're there. And we had dinner there out in the patio. And the best part of that whole thing was the group of women who joined us for that segment. Friend of old friend of ours from the Best Buy days, who's actually taking girls' weekend trips with her colleagues because they have the whole idea of how we work with other people is changed. Where, I mean, friends at work, I didn't grow up with the idea in my career. I wasn't going to be friends with my colleagues. I had my girlfriends over here. I got places to be outside of work. These women are actually saying to each other, you know what? If we're going to be in San Francisco for a few days for a conference, how do y'all feel about extending it for a few days and let's go up into Napa? And they did. I mean, it's all about connection. That to me is like the most important part of why I want to tell these stories is I want people to feel inspired to make connections when they're there, make connections with each other. Even if they're traveling solo, make a connection with the place you're visiting.
So when you went to Napa, you found food. You've been mentioning that for sure. And you've also found art. Also, tell us about the art.
You know, the art in this particular episode, art is such a broad category. I think we have a tendency to want to put art into that museum lane. I look at what chefs do as a work of art. And if you really like take the time to get to know a chef, a lot of times they're not business people. They're artists and they're very mercurial and they're persnickety and they create incredible experiences. And so we really looked at the Napa episode as wine as the medium. And the whole conversation, there's an entire conversation we had at Rare Cat Wines. Rare Cat Wines, so Sharon Kazan Harris, who is the founder, and she's the winemaker, and she has the degrees and all the credentials from the University of Bordeaux. And she actually operates in Napa, but also has a chateau in France, and she makes champagne. And taking us through the whole, like, the two different methods for how you make champagne, whether you ferment in the bottle or in a tank, two entirely different wines from the exact same grapes. Taste can be an art experience. And so, you know, in previous episodes, we have gone and met with the artists. I met my favorite living artist, Maggie Hambling. She's in the UK. She does controversial public sculptures and she's a painter. So I got to spend time with her. And the whole message in that episode was look around for the art. You don't always have to go to the Tate Modern or to the National Portrait Gallery to have an art experience. You can go and you can even reach out to your artists and go take them out for coffee. They would love to hear from you. In the case of Napa, the art is really in the winemaking itself and how just the alchemy behind how wine is made.
Well, I love how you're defining this. Art is not necessarily walking into a Santa Fe art gallery, of which there are about a million in Santa Fe, but you're seeing art in so many different settings. And I completely agree with you that chefs absolutely create extraordinary art in what they do, which is really huge. So tell us what an episode of your show would look like. And when you want to learn more about what Kelly Grayler's doing here in hosting and producing the first and only woman-centric docuseries about travel, combining art and food, please go on over to the WTAF, that's Woman Travel Art Food, the WTAFshow.com. Tell us what your YouTube is.
The YouTube channel is the same. It's the WTAF Show. YouTube.com/the WTAF Show, all one word. And that's where you're going to find us. And what you're going to find in a typical episode, the beauty of being independently produced is that we get to play around with our formula. But there is a general formula to the show. I have the advantage with that 3 decades career to have women I know all over the world. I look at the places we want to go in 2025. I've got 8 destinations in mind, and I know someone personally in every single place, including Nairobi.
Well, I personally think that you need a doctor to accompany you.
Yes.
For the majority of these, I could suggest someone if you'd like. So perhaps we should talk about that after the show.
I think that's a great idea. I know she's also a triathlete and writes books and has a lot of things going on.
Just saying, just throwing it out there. That's all I'm doing, you know, just suggesting.
Yeah, but the formula is really simple. You know, we build it for like a roughly 30-minute episode. We're paying attention to our analytics right now and how people are consuming information. Because we don't want to be beholden to an old model, you know, the classic model. And the classic model is the TV show. But we're paying attention to viewer habits with Gen X and millennial women. And when you go to our YouTube channel, you're going to see the full episodes. You're also going to see shorts that are like 3 minutes, 5 minutes long. They're just like the segments. We pull them out and give them a little bit of love as a standalone piece. And we're just testing a lot of different ways that people want to experience that content. But everything is on the YouTube channel. We have presence on Instagram, and we're even on LinkedIn. We're on Threads. We're on TikTok. We have a Substack. The Substack has been like the newsletter side of things. It's like the new blog, if you will, which is funny because it kind of all came back to the newsletter. What goes around comes around in communications. But, you know, the whole model here is I go to a place. I have someone who joins me for the entire episode. In the case of Napa, it was my friend Dawn Bryant, an old colleague from Best Buy, who she's actually now a nomad. She and her husband live in an RV and travel the U.S. But she also has had a lot of clients out in Napa Valley. And so she knows that place inside out. There's going to be one entire thing we do of us just driving down Highway 29 and her going, oh, wait, right there, and this place, and that place, and this place, and that place, because she just knows the place inside and out. And then we spend time, we invite chefs and artists to join us. We go to their locations. We buy our own food. We don't expect any handouts. And we have conversations or they join us for the segment. In the case of Reims, California, Chef Rima Seal, who has a Palestinian restaurant and is working to really kind of break that notion of we clump everything into Mediterranean or Middle Eastern. And she's like, there's over 20 countries in the Middle East. And they each have distinct cultures and distinct approaches to food. And it was absolutely delicious. So what you ideally are taking away from watching this is you're inspired to seek out Chef Rima Seal or seek out Fantesca or Rare Cat Wines. Grove 45 is probably my favorite experience from this Napa trip. It was olive oil tasting.
Wow.
This story, though, is incredible. So you have Ana Hernandez, is Guatemalan, comes to Napa Valley to go to culinary art school, goes back to Guatemala and gets married, and eventually moves her family up to Napa. And the location that they buy for their home is a 5,000 olive grove, 5,000 olive trees that were planted by Charles Krug, who, if you're in the Napa area, you know Krug is a major wine brand. They have 150-year-old olive trees on their property, and they converted that into an olive oil business, and it was so delicious. And if you think about like women and wellness, especially menopausal women. I have a lot of friends who are going sober curious or have stopped drinking alcohol entirely because they don't like how it makes them feel anymore. But you still want to have a great experience in Napa? Lean into the food. Lean into the olive oil. Lean into these tastings and these experiences that are there. You don't always have to drink booze to have a great time. That's going to be the episode, and it's going to drop hopefully by, we're hoping for it by Thanksgiving. It might push closer to the December holidays.
Question, what is your goal for putting these episodes out there? In the best of worlds, what is the outcome you want when the viewer, you know, more than likely a woman, sees this?
Well, first and foremost, I want the outcome to be support for the chefs and artists that we feature in the episodes. If they have women who are coming to them either online or in real life and purchasing their products and services or their art and saying, you know, I saw this on the show and I want to buy this, I want to be a part of it, that's the first win, number one. Number two, obviously, we're not beholden to traditional storytelling or television models. So the idea of taking this to a streaming service is not the first priority. I actually would like to invite brands to work with us. Because if you are a brand that is interested in reaching the super consumer and stories that are really tailored for her at her age and where she is in her stage in life, we want to be something that you're looking at and saying, you know, this is a better choice than going with a traditional influencer. We very proudly say we are not influencers. I will not say that we are a social influencer or a travel influencer. We're the storytellers, but we would love to have brands get on board with us and help sponsor our content.
Like what, for instance?
Oh, I want Delta Sync. I want Delta. Delta Airlines, come talk to us. We love you. And we want you as a sponsor of the WTAF show. I want to find brands that are very keen on this particular target and see the value in reaching them through our content.
There are wonderful clothes out now that are what we call kind of traveling clothes that are just amazing on a long airline flight where you kind of want to wear something that's almost like almost jammies. It's just really comfortable, soft, plush, things like that. Same thing with the shoes. And then of course, duh, the luggage and the rest of it. That would be another one. I mean, I can see a whole host of brands hopping on board saying, yeah, you know, we completely support what you're doing because all it's going to do is help us anyway. So I think that that's incredibly smart strategy. I just have to applaud you for really going to this space where I just know for a natural fact that women I know have been noodling this for a while, but kind of need guidance and a little bit of help thinking it through. And then like, what do I do when I get there? So I decided to take a Kelly Grayler trip. I did. So I had to go to Toronto on business, one of my favorite cities. So pretty there. My hotel was right there on Lake Ontario. So I got a chance to see all the boats and the whatever. And then right downstairs was the Long Wharf. It goes on forever. And people in that city, for obvious reasons, because it's so beautiful, like to go outside and walk. And so I said, okay, I brought my pounding shoes with me. So I pounded the pavement or the wharf. And I just went in and out. And then it was snake around and go into the city a little bit and then come back to the water again. And it was just an extraordinary experience. They had sculpture out there. And I was just doing this little Dr. Peak journey by myself. And I didn't need anybody with me. I was having a blast. And then when my colleagues joined me, I said, let's be adventuresome, right? If we're going to have to do these dinners and whatever, let's go to wild and crazy places in the city. And so off to Greek Town we went. And that was kind of amazing. Just a wonderful chance to see different architecture, because downtown is very modern. It's like ridiculous. It's so beautiful and clean and skyscrapers and, you know, the whole thing. But once you get out into the neighborhoods, then you see this beautiful architecture that's been there for a gazillion years, and you could really kind of embrace that. And I saw beautiful art there too. And so, you know, I had a Kelly Grayler experience. I went out of my way to do that because I was thinking, so I was channeling you. You were, you know, kind of like coming through my brain. Pam, go over here, do that. Be adventuresome, take a risk, you know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. You know, and it's, you know, any place you go in the world, you can find really great experiences. And, you know, that is actually something I always have to give credit to Anthony Bourdain. He taught me that. I mean, I already loved travel before No Reservations started, and he really hit the scene. But the thing I loved about what he represented, and his story model is the gold standard. And we proudly say that we aim to be Bourdain if he had been a woman. He really helped in terms of thinking about how does travel open your worldview to new experiences? How do you travel not like a tourist, but embrace the local? What are the locals doing, and what is remarkable about that place day in and day out that you get to experience for the short period of time that you're there?
And I always, always incorporate walking, because if you really want to understand local, I don't care where you are, you walk. And then you also, I like asking questions like, what's the coolest place, restaurant to go to where what you don't have is just the usual tourista stuff? What you want instead is you want to be able to have an opportunity to enjoy local cuisine, local artists, just sort of the whole local thing. Does that make sense?
It does. And the thing that I think is so important and why we do this show is women can sometimes be invisible, especially older women. The power of storytelling of what women are doing in these communities that we visit and feature in the episodes, the point is that as you or other women travel, open up your eyes, look around, and see where what the role of the women are in the places that you visit. I mean, there is a place in Bangkok that I cannot wait to visit one day. It is essentially, it's where all of the elder women convene later in life. So, you know, to use an American term, is it a nursing home? I don't think so. What they're doing is it's like almost like a commune where they come together and they're preserving the food culture of Thailand. And there's a restaurant that is tied to it. So it's living quarters for elder women who are doing all of the cooking and keeping the food culture alive. And then you can go and experience it yourself when you're there. And that to me is like, I'd much rather go to Bangkok and have that experience than anything that TripAdvisor is telling the millions of people who go there every year to go and see.
I know you just feel like you're just part of a herd, and there's nothing in the world that makes me crazier than doing something like that. All right. Right now we have this brand new show out, and you want give it that YouTube name again. Come on, let's do it.
It's youtube.com/thewtafshow.
Okay. The WTAF show. And obviously, that's for YouTube as well as the website itself. And you could learn more about what Kelly is doing. Kelly, by the way, you are absolutely perfect for this role because you're a character. And, you know, I could see this in every single episode. You're just a character. And that's what really counts, because then makes it all memorable, because, you know, you're a beautiful woman who is really embracing this whole adventure, having a lot of fun with it, being smart and strategic, and also being of service to the people who you're working with there, you know, whether they're the chefs or whomever. All of you out there on the Herb Podcast land, I know that one of the things you're thinking about is, when am I going to travel next? And where am I going to go? And what's going to happen? And oh my gosh. And one of the things I highly recommend you do is run on over to the wonderful website as well as YouTube to be able to explore some places that Kelly has already laid the path to, and see what you think about whether or not you want to go and experience very much like Kelly did, because you could see her skipping down the street and having a lot of fun. And I'm thinking, I want some of that too, you know, like, why not? And there you have it. So this is so cool. So before we close up, share one little nugget of advice for a woman who is really kind of thinking about whether or not she wants to go travel and be adventuresome. Maybe she has a little fear of traveling alone or, you know, whatever the issue may be. What would you recommend?
I actually would recommend, well, two things. First of all, watch our shows, because the idea here is to get you inspired to step out of that comfort zone of yours and seek out the adventures. So Travel Like a Woman is very much our motto. That's what we aim to inspire you to do by doing this. But the other thing I would then say is seek out communities that are like you. I'm going to go back to Solo and Style. I'm a huge fan of Solo and Style. You can find that it's a community on Facebook. It's a private group. And you get asked a few questions, then you join, and you are literally with 650,000 other women around the world who are just in that same spot. And so many, like every single day I see posts and it's somebody who's new to the group saying, I don't know if I'm ready to do this yet. I just had this big change happen in my life, or I'm an empty nester now, or I'm curious, but I just don't know if I can do this. And you are going to find an overwhelming amount of support from other women encouraging you to go. And that is, listen, we know that the only currency we have that is truly out of our control is time. And it is, there's no better time than now to start going after the things that you're interested in. The one other thing, Dr. Peak, I would say is, for whatever reason, there are a lot of women who cannot travel, whether it is because they are caring for children or aging parents or both, or they have physical or other reasons in terms of why they cannot travel. I encourage you to, those same people, take in the content that's out there that can inspire you and at least fill that void for you if you can't get on a plane or get in the car yourself right now. But lean into the things that are out there to get you inspired to do this, because it is a part, at the end of the day, it's a part of your life experience. It's a part of your well-being.
I love this concept. And something else I recommend, kind of piling onto what you just said, is that, you know, if women are a little timid about doing this and like, you know, well, you know what I tell women to do? Look around you. Are you in a city, town, you know, whatever? What haven't you done yet in your own city and town? And, or even in the local, in the locale per se. So there's a beach close by, but you never went there, or you kind of drove by it, or, you know, whatever. Have you ever just sort of gone there? Would you kind of have some fun with some of that? Then all of a sudden you start building. You're like, well, if this is fun, why not like hop on a train or a plane and kind of extend it a little bit more and enhance the entire adventure one way or the other? I think that that's a great way to kind of build up. What do you think?
Full 100% in agreement. And I'll give you two quick examples why I believe in this. Number one, my family, I spent the first 4 years of my life in northern Minnesota next to this tiny town called Park Rapids. And it's right in the Lakes Country. And guess what? The best Chinese restaurant I have ever eaten at in the United States is in Park Rapids, Minnesota. And the family that operates that restaurant, they're from Shenzhen. They are steeped in bringing their local culture from China into this northern Minnesota city. So I look at the women in the Park Rapids area and say, if you like have fear or trepidation of going to Asia or specifically to China, guess what? You can at least have a first experience right there on Main Street in Park Rapids, eat at the Four Seas, and it's absolutely delicious. It is unbelievably good. I also think of, like, I'm based in Minneapolis. We have James Beard award-winning chefs who are here. I think of Chef Ann Kim, who is, you know, she brings Korean fusion into her food. Chef Ann Ahmed, who is Laotian, and how she brings that into her food experiences. So there are so many places and different cuisines in cities that can be close to where you live. Seek them out. Don't default to an Applebee's or to something that is just like,
oh God, no, please.
Don't do it. And also, just women, please don't ever be that type of tourist who thinks you need ketchup when you go to another country. Don't. Just don't do it. Don't do it.
I know. It just, no.
But go and have your experiences there in the places that are closest to you. The world is right there.
Once again, you know, you've given me so much more inspiration to do more and more and more. So I can't wait. I want to make sure everyone knows that we've been talking to Kelly Grayler, and she is the producer and the host of the only women first food and travel docuseries, The Women Travel Art and Food Show. Yay. And run on over to the WTAFshow.com to learn more. And that's the same for the YouTube channel, as it were. Kelly, thank you so much for being on the Herb podcast.
Dr. Peake, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I just want to hop on a plane now. That's all I can say. Hey, everyone out there, I know you love this. So speaking of hopping, hop on over to iTunes to rate and review this terrific episode, because I want to know what you think. Are you packing your bags? Is that you I hear out there packing your bag? I'm just saying. Okay, and here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. Find out more about the Her Life Stages products that support a woman all the way from the menstrual years, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, all separate products. And they're all showing you that they're interwoven into a woman's entire life journey. Run on over to your local health food store, go to Sprouts, Whole Foods, Amazon, or Solaray.com. And if you go to the website, use the promo code HER20 for 20% off. Okay. All I can say is this has been another amazing Her podcast, and I'm Dr. Pam Peake, your host, your very proud host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our entire Her podcast community. So just pop on over to drpeake.com to learn more about my work and social media. Join me every single week for another Her podcast, where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Kelly Grayler as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. So thanks so much. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. Boy, was this episode, you know, apropos of that, huh? So get on out there and seize the day. A little carpe diem, please. Have a great one.